Well, I've divided my message into three questions. Who, when, and where? Who, when, and where? My first question is this one. Who's right? Now, I haven't mentioned the election once so far. But I'm not mentioning it here. I'm not asking you to decide whether Theresa May is right or Jeremy Corbyn, all right? We're setting all that aside. We're not mentioning that at all. I should have prayed about it, and we'll do that at the end. Who's right? Well, it's not politics. The question we might ask ourselves, how can we be saved from God's judgment? How can we be restored into a relationship with God and be sure of eternal life? Who's right about the answer to that question? Who's right about the way that we can achieve this salvation, this rescue, this restoration, this blessing of eternal life? Well, on the one hand, you might say, those of you who know your Bible, well, we've got the Apostle Paul. And here's what he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. He says, "It's by grace you have been saved, through faith, not by works, so that no one can boast." All right? It's faith, not by works. But then we've got James saying in verse 20 of our reading today, faith without deeds is useless. Who's right? Well, I'm going to suggest they both are, because they're looking at works in different ways. I think, you know, if you think about what Paul is saying and what James is saying, they're not that far apart, because they all start with faith. And I think what Paul is getting at is, well, it's me trying to get right with God by my own efforts, by my works, by the things that I do. That's, he says, what doesn't count as far as God is concerned. You know, a lot of people are a bit like this, aren't they? They think this is how they get to heaven. They think this is how God will accept them. Well, you know, I do try my best, they would say, to keep the Ten Commandments. They're really good, and I do my utmost. I haven't murdered, you know, I haven't committed adultery, so I'm on the right track. They would say, well, I try to be as good as I can possibly be. I help others, I'm a good neighbor, I give to charity. These things are all very commendable, and I'm not knocking them, but there is never enough that we can do to satisfy God, because in our lives, we've still got the wrong. We've still got the wrong things we've done, the words we've said that hurt people, the things that we've done that hurt people, the thoughts we've had that are not righteous. None of us, says the Bible, are perfect. We've all done wrong things. And all the best of the good things we can do can never deal with that question of the wrong things. And it's the wrong things we've done, our sinfulness, that will keep us out of heaven. But God in his grace has made one way, one only way for us to be saved from his judgment, that we can have our sins forgiven, that we can be reconciled to him, having been separated by the wrong things we've done, and we can be given eternal life. And that one way is through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus gave himself out of love for us as an offering to God, says the scriptures, taking our punishment. And faith in what he has done and faith in the Lord Jesus is a must. It's a given. In fact, it's a given for both Paul and James, wasn't it? They both spoke about the importance of faith. And if we're trying to think that I can earn my way to God, well, I'm sorry, but according to the scriptures, we're mistaken, and it will never be good enough. We have to make God's way of salvation the thing in which we put our trust. We need to trust in Christ, in his sacrifice, and what he's done for us. As we bring him into our lives, into the core of our being, that faith should change our lives as we seek to commit our lives to him and to live for him who died for us. Faith doesn't seem enough at times, does it? But it's what God's way is. We don't try to earn points with God. We trust in the Lord Jesus, who has done all that's necessary. And so Paul can say, we have been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I suppose the challenge for each of us here is, has that been our experience? We can say we've been justified by faith. Mr. Fielder, Martin, has got that faith. I've got that faith. Others I've mentioned have got that faith. You can't see it, but it's there in our lives. It's there in our hearts. It's there inside us. By God's Holy Spirit, we've been born again and we've been made for God, and we have that assurance of that hope of heaven within us. Have each of us got that faith that's necessary? Well, what about James? What sort of works or deeds is he writing about? Is it the same sort of thing? Is he saying that, well, actually, with our faith, we need these deeds and actions that earn points with God, and, you know, it's the two taken together. Is he adding to faith? Well, actually, I don't think he is, because he's talking about different sort of works, different sort of deeds. The deeds he's talking about come from an inward faith being worked out. It's a follow-on works, not an add-on to faith. We should be able to see the reality of faith in our changed lives by the things we do and say, by the motives and attitudes that we show that are different from the ordinary world around us. And I think James is saying the test of whether our faith is real and genuine is that change evidence in the things that we do, in the deeds and actions? Is it really authentic? And that's what I was trying to get at when we had the little experiments. You know, we couldn't see gravity, but we could see its effects. And James is saying you can't see faith, but you should be able to see its effects. And if there are no effects, you've got to doubt whether it was our real faith in the first place. I was thinking it's a bit like buying a tree with an apple tag on it. You plant it, you water it, it looks like it's coming on okay. But if there's never any fruit, you'd have to doubt, is it really an apple tree? And if in the lives of people, and if in our lives, it actually doesn't make a lot of difference that we say we're a Christian and we believe in Jesus, you've got to say, really? Really? And so James says, faith is still important. It's when I start with, and he says, doesn't he, I will show you my faith by what I do. I will show you my faith by what I do. I'm not adding to my faith. I'm not saying there's more I need to do to earn God's favor. It's all of God's grace that we don't deserve. But I'm showing it. I'm showing it as an outward expression of my inward faith. And if that outward expression isn't there, we need to think again. We're doing these works not necessarily to earn a place or a point with God, but we're doing it as a witness to others of our faith and our sharing with them. So Paul and James, they're just looking at things in a slightly different way. Faith is still the key. That's the only way we can be saved and put right with God. We can't earn it, says Paul, and James says, but we should show it. We should show that faith in how we live. Here's my second question. When do actions speak louder than words? When do actions speak louder than words? We can't see our faith, but we should be able to see what it does. And James laid out this little scenario, didn't he? Did you notice it in our reading? It's all about practical Christianity, James. He's a bit punchy and a bit hard-hitting, but he gets to the point pretty well, doesn't he? He's getting to the nitty-gritty of what it means to live out a Christian life. And, you know, if I was doing a documentary about what he says, I would do it like this. He says there's some people in your church. They're church members. They come along regularly. In James's day, they wouldn't come to a building like this. They didn't have their own buildings. They would meet in perhaps a well-to-do person's house, or I guess they may hire a hall or something like that. And the church comes and they meet together for their services and for perhaps breaking of bread like we do now. And in comes a church member. In my mind, in my documentary, I see him as in his mid-30s. He's got his wife with him and some children. But he's injured his leg, and you know, there's no National Health Service, and it didn't heal very well, and he's not able to work. He can only get casual jobs. There's no social security, so they've got to do the best they can. There's not much money. By the time they paid a rent for a hovel to live in, there's not much left for food, and certainly not much left for any clothes. They certainly don't have any winter cloak to keep them warm. You can see their thin, pinched faces. But they're proud, and they try to do their best with the clothes that they have, even if though if they've been more stitching and darning than original cloth left. And their shoes aren't much to look at. Everybody must know about their situation in the church. And they have their service, and at the end they go out, and there's a brother like Martin at the end there, you know, shakes their hand and says, you know, lovely to see you. Have a good day, won't you, for the rest of the day. Enjoy your meal when you get home. Pity about that rain and cold, isn't it, today? But I'm sure if you run home, you can, you know, it won't be too bad for you. You might even say, well, we'll pray for you. And James says, that sort of attitude is not good enough for people who claim to have faith. It's just empty words. If you ignore the situation and don't help if you can. You see, sometimes it seems to me actions do speak louder than words. Sometimes we're asked to physically help some people. Now, I know our situation is a bit different, isn't it? We do have social security. We do have the health service. There is a lot of help available, but there are still situations where we might know of, where we could help, but perhaps we don't. I guess there's two things. Firstly, you've got to know about the situation. And it's very easy just to go through, you know, you never get to grips with people. You never really talk to them very deeply. You don't know where they're at. But if you do know about a situation, is there something you can do to help? And it may well be that there isn't much we can do to help because of our own situation and our own resources. But even small things can be done. If I can just speak personally, what has meant a lot to Rosemary, for example, are, you know, the expressions of people saying, you know, we'll be praying for you, we'll be thinking about you. Some have been kindly sent some cards. She had some flowers from the women's meeting, and that was really lovely. Small things, but mean a lot. It may well be we have to get our wallets and do something about it. If we can. The third thing, I guess, we need to remember is that if you're in need, you've got to accept help sometimes. You've got to accept help. Sometimes people are so proud, they just, you know, shut it out. But we're a family, says James. Did you notice? It's a brother or a sister. It's a Christian family. It's the fellowship. And we should be supporting and helping one another. And he says, if there's not that practical outworking of our inward faith, what's the point? What is the point? This makes me feel a bit uncomfortable. And if it's not people within our own faith community we can help, there's a world out there with people in distress, as we had from George Muller, you know, people who are in need. Perhaps there's something that we can do to help them. Sometimes actions do speak louder than words. My last question was, where is the love? Where is the love? There doesn't seem to be much love in that situation, certainly not love in practice that James mentioned. But the foundation of our faith is love, isn't it? The love of God for us, the love of God that sent his Son into the world that we might live through him, says the scriptures. The love of Christ that took him to the cross so that we can talk about the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We think of the Lord's words to his disciples, love one another as I have loved you. And faith is genuine. That's genuine. Then the Holy Spirit within us should be prompting us to be more like Christ, and so more loving and more generous and more responsive to to the needs of others if we know about them. George Muller's heart went out to the people. He saw the situation and he did something about it. His vision was to establish those orphanages. And I hope today that you will go away and think about what we've been speaking about. I'm not going to give you any examples of what you can or should do. It's up to each one of us because we're all in different situations. But there's a responsibility on each of us to work out this inward faith that we have. We need doctrine. We need good Bible knowledge. We need prayer. But we need faith works too. And Paul doesn't ignore that. Because in Ephesians 2 verse 10 he says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." In the week ahead, why not try to do some good work? Whatever it is, big or small, expensive or cheap, whatever it might be, helping one or another, whether it's within the church or outside, let's see our faith at work and expressed in deeds and actions. Not a dead and useless faith that makes no difference to the world in which we live.